years ago. Overcome by curiosity, he darted across the stretch of open ground at the edge of the trees and leaped to the top of the fence. Memories of playing there as a kid flooded over him as he looked down at the stretch of grass bordered by two-leg plants. There was a more recent memory, too, of coming here to find catnip when Blue Star was ill with green cough. Firestar could see the clump of catnip now from where he was sitting and smell its tempting scent. A flicker of movement from the nest caught his gaze, and he saw one of his old two legs pass by the window and disappear again. Firestar suddenly wondered how his two legs had felt when he left them to live in the forest. He hoped they hadn't worried about him. They had cared for him well, in the way that two legs tried to, and Firestar knew he would always be grateful. He would have liked to tell them how happy he was in the forest, and how he was fulfilling the destiny Star Clan had laid out for him, but he knew there was no way he could make two legs understand. He was bunching his muscles, ready to leap down into the forest, when something black and white moved in the next garden. Glancing down, he saw Smudge, his old friend from his kitty pet days. He looked as plump as ever, with a contented expression on his broad face. He was talking to a pretty brown tabby she-cat, a stranger to Firestar. Their muse reached him, but they were too far away for him to make out the words. He almost jumped down to say hello until he remembered that they would probably be frightened by the sight of a ruffian like himself. Not long after coming to the forest, Firestar had met Smudge in the woods and nearly scared the life out of him before his friend recognized him. The life he led now was worlds away from theirs. The sound of a door opening roused Firestar from his thoughts, and he edged along the fence into the shelter of a holly bush as one of his old two legs came out of the house and called. At once, the pretty brown tabby meowed goodbye to Smudge and scrambled under the fence that divided the gardens. She ran up to the two leg, who scooped her up and stroked her before carrying her indoors, purring loudly. She's their new kitty pet, Firestar thought. The closing of the door stirred a pang of envy in him, just for a heartbeat. The little tabby would have no need to catch her prey before she could eat. She would have a warm place to sleep and no risk of dying in battle or from one of the many dangers that beset the forest cats. She would have the friendship of Smudge and other kitty pets, and the care of her two legs. Everything that Firestar had turned his back on to live as a clan cat in the forest. But at the same time, she would never know the satisfaction of learning warrior skills, or of racing into battle beside her friends. She would never understand what it meant to live by the warrior code and to follow the will of Star Clan. If I could relive my life, Firestar thought, I wouldn't change a thing. Suddenly, claws scrabbled on the fence below him, and from the corner of his eye, he caught a glimpse of quick, brown movement. Turning his head, he found himself face to face with Bramblepaw. It was a moment before Firestar recovered himself enough to speak. What are you doing here?
I followed you from camp, Firestar. I was curious about where you were going, and I wanted to practice my tracking skills.
Well, they seem good enough, if you got this far. Firestar wasn't sure whether he was angry with his apprentice or not. Bramblepaw shouldn't have followed him without permission, but it was impressive to have tracked him all the way from the camp. He felt a twinge of guilt, too, that Bramblepaw should have caught him looking over a two-leg fence at a pair of kitty pets. Once before, when Firestar was an apprentice, Tigerstar had spied on him and caught him talking to Smudge. The huge tabby had reported straight back to Blue Star, deliberately calling into question Firestar's loyalty to clan life. Meeting Bramblepaw's eyes, Firestar saw the young cat's nervousness fading, to be replaced by a steady gaze, as if he were weighing his mentor up. It was a long, intelligent look, and Firestar realized that he could see respect in the amber depths. He was aware yet again of his certainty that Bramblepaw could be an outstanding warrior, if only he could escape his father's dark heritage. But would Bramblepaw ever be truly loyal to his birth clan, with his father still in the forest? Can I trust you? Firestar blurted out suddenly. The young cat didn't rush to defend himself. Instead, Bramblepaw held him with that serious gaze for a moment more.
"Can I trust you?"
he responded, twitching his ears in the direction of the two-legged garden. Bristling, Firestar initially had no intention of justifying himself to his apprentice. It was not Bramblepaw's place to question the actions of his mentor, who also happened to be clan leader, but in spite of the guilt Bramblepaw's question had provoked, Firestar couldn't help admiring the spirit that had dared to ask. He took a deep breath. "You can trust me," he promised solemnly. "I chose to leave my life as a kitty pet. Whatever happens, I'll always put the clan first." It was time, he decided, to be more open with Bramblepaw. "But I do come here now and again," he continued. "I see my sister sometimes, and I wonder how things would have been if I'd stayed. Yet I always leave knowing that my heart lies with ThunderClan." Bramblepaw gave a little nod, as if the answer satisfied him.
"I know what it's like to have loyalties questioned," he meowed.
Another pang of guilt stabbed Firestar, even though he knew he was not the only cat to have suspicions about Bramblepaw. "How do you get on with the other apprentices?" he asked.
"They're okay, but I know some of the warriors don't like me and Tawnypaw, because Tigerstar's our father."
The words were spoken with such understanding that Firestar was even more ashamed of himself. "We're more alike than I ever realized," Firestar thought. "Constantly having to prove our loyalties by fighting twice as hard, defending ourselves twice as much to our enemies and to our clanmates." "Can you cope with that?" he meowed cautiously. Bramblepaw blinked.
"I know where my loyalties lie. I'll prove that someday."
There was no boasting in the way he spoke, just calm determination. Firestar realized that he believed him. His apprentice had rewarded him for his honesty about visiting Two-Leg Place by being honest with him in return. Now, Firestar knew he owed it to Bramblepaw to trust his word. "What about Tawnypaw?" he asked.
"Well..."
her brother hesitated, a troubled look in his eyes.
"She can be a bit difficult at times, but it's just her way. She's a loyal cat at heart."
"I'm sure she is," Firestar mewed, though he noticed that Bramblepaw wasn't entirely at ease discussing his sister with the clan leader. He would need to keep a closer eye on Tawnypaw in the future and make sure she had all the support she needed to become a reliable ThunderClan warrior. A word with her mentor, Brackenfur, would be a good idea. Struck by a sudden warmth toward his apprentice, Firestar added, "I've got to get on if I'm to finish patrolling the border before dark. Do you want to come with me?" Bramblepaw's amber eyes lit up.
"Can I?"
"Sure." Firestar leaped down from the fence and waited for the young cat to scramble down behind him. "We'll do some training on the way."
"Great!"
Bramblepaw meowed enthusiastically. He patted close to his mentor's shoulder as Firestar led the way back into the trees. Firestar halted on the edge of the Thunderpath and drew in the scent that flowed across from ShadowClan territory. "Tigerstar is out there," he thought. "What is he planning? What will he do next?" As he stood wrapped in silent apprehension, he noticed scraps of white drifting down from the sky.
"Snow,"
Firestar thought, glancing up at a sky where the clouds were darker than ever. Hearing a surprised squeak from Bramblepaw, he turned around. A snowflake had landed on Bramblepaw's nose and was slowly melting. The apprentice flicked out a pink tongue and licked it off, his yellow eyes round with wonder.
"What is it, Firestar?"
he asked.
"It's cold."
Firestar let out a purr of amusement. "It's snow," he replied. "It comes in leaf bear. If it goes on like this, the flakes will cover all the ground and the trees."
"Really? But they're so tiny."
"There will be lots of them, though." The flakes were already growing larger and falling more thickly, almost hiding the trees on the other side of the Thunderpath and smothering the ShadowClan scent. Even the roar of the monsters was muffled, and they moved slowly, as if their glowing eyes couldn't see well through the snow. Firestar knew that snowfall would bring more problems to the forest. Prey would die in the cold, or huddle deep in holes where hunters could not follow. it would be harder than ever to feed the clan. His apprentice was watching the falling flakes with wide eyes. Firestar saw him reach out one paw tentatively to dab at one of them. A heartbeat later, he was leaping and whirling with high-pitched mews of excitement, as if he were trying to catch every single flake before it reached the ground. Firestar was surprised by a rush of affection. It was good to see the young cat playing like a kid again. Surely the dark-hearted Tiger Star had never chased snowflakes just for the joy of it. Or if he had, when had he lost the joy and begun to care only for his own power? There was no answer to that question, and Firestar knew that for Tiger Star, just as much as for himself, there was no going back. Their paws were firmly on the path Star Clan had decided they should follow, and sooner or later, the two leaders must meet to decide who should remain in the forest. Chapter 8. The snow had stopped by the time Firestar and Bramblepaw returned to camp. The clouds had cleared away, and the setting sun cast long blue shadows over the thin coating of white that powdered the ground. Both cats were carrying fresh kill. Firestar had watched his apprentice's hunting skills and been impressed by the young cat's concentration and skillful stalking. They had just reached the top of the ravine when they heard a yowl behind them. Firestar turned to see Graystripe bounding through the undergrowth.
"Hi!"
panted the gray warrior as he caught up with them. His eyes widened when he saw their catch.
"You've had better luck than me. I couldn't find so much of the mouse."
Firestar grunted sympathetically as he led the way toward the gorse tunnel. He noticed that Sorrel Kit, the most adventurous of Willowpelt's three kits, had left the camp and climbed halfway up the steep slope farther along the ravine. To Firestar's surprise, she was with Darkstripe. The warrior was bending over her, saying something to her.
"Odd,"
Firestar muttered through a mouthful of squirrel fur, half to himself.
"Darkstripe has never shown much interest in kits before. And what's he doing out here on his own?"
Suddenly, Firestar heard a sharp exclamation from Graystripe, and his friend flashed past him, hurtling along the side of the ravine, his paws scrabbling against the loose snow-covered stones. At the same moment, Sorrel Kit's legs crumpled underneath her sturdy tortoiseshell body, and she started writhing in the snow. Firestar dropped his fresh kill in amazement as Graystripe yowled,
"No!"
and flung himself on the dark warrior. Darkstripe clawed and flailed at him with his hind legs, but Graystripe's teeth were sunk in his throat and would not let go.
"What?"
Firestar dashed down the slope with Bramblepaw right behind him. He dodged the fighting cats, still locked together in a whirlwind of teeth and claws, and reached Sorrel Kit's side. The little kit twisted and turned on the ground, her eyes wide and glazed. She was letting out high-pitched moans of pain, and there was foam on her lips.
"Get Cinderpelt!"
Firestar ordered Bramblepaw. His apprentice shot off, his paws sending up puffs of snow. Firestar bent over the young kit and placed a paw gently on her belly. "It's all right," he murmured. "Cinderpelt is coming." Sorrel Kit's jaws gaped wide, and Firestar caught a glimpse of half-chewed berries in her mouth, scarlet against her white teeth.
"Death berries," he gasped.
There was a dark-leaved shrub growing from a crack in the rock just above his head, with more of the lethal scarlet berries clustered among the leaves. He remembered a time many moons ago when Cinderpelt had appeared just in time to stop Cloudtail from eating the death berries and warned him of how poisonous they were. Later, Yellowfang had used them to kill her son, Brokentail. Firestar had seen for himself how quickly and fatally they worked. Crouching over Sorrel Kit, Firestar did his best to scoop the crushed berries out of her mouth. But the kit was in too much terror and pain to keep still and make his task easier. Her head thrashed from side to side, and her body was convulsing in regular spasms that, to Firestar's horror, seemed to be growing weaker. He could still hear Graystripe and Darkstripe screeching in the throes of their fight, but they seemed oddly far away. All his attention was concentrated on the kit. Then, to his relief, he felt Cinderpelt arrive beside him.
"Deathberries," he told her quickly. "I've tried to get them out, but—"
Cinderpelt took his place by the kit's side. She had a bundle of leaves in her mouth. Setting them down, she mewed,
"Good. Keep holding her, Firestar, while I take a look."
With two of them to help, and the kit's struggles definitely growing weaker, Cinderpelt was soon able to paw out the remains of the death berries. Then she rapidly chewed up one of her leaves and stuffed the pulp into Sorrel Kit's mouth.
Swallow it,
she ordered. To Fireheart, she added,
it's yarrow. It'll make her sick.
The kit's throat convulsed. A moment later, she vomited. Firestar could see more scarlet specks among the pulp of leaves.
Good,
Cinderpelt mewed soothingly.
That's very good. You're going to be fine, Sorrel Kit.
The little kit lay gasping and trembling. Then Firestar watched in dismay as she went limp and her eyes closed.
Is she dead?
He whispered. Before Cinderpelt could reply, a yowl came from the entrance to the camp.
My kit! Where's my kit?
It was Willowpelt, racing up the ravine with Bramblepaw. She crouched beside Sorrel Kit, her blue eyes wide and distraught.
What happened? She ate deathberries,
Cinderpelt explained.
But I think I've gotten rid of them all. We'll carry her back to my den, and I'll keep an eye on her.
Willowpelt began licking Sorrel Kit's tortoiseshell fur. By now, Firestar had seen the faint rise and fall of the kit's flank as she breathed. She was not dead, but he could see from Cinderpelt's anxious look that she was still in danger from the effects of the poison. For the first time, Firestar had a chance to draw breath and look for Graystripe. The gray warrior had pinned Darkstripe down a few tail lengths away, with one paw on his neck and another on his belly. Darkstripe was bleeding from one ear, and he spat in fury as he fought vainly to free himself.
What's going on? Firestar demanded. Don't ask me, snarled Graystripe.
Firestar could hardly remember seeing his friend look so savage.
Ask this piece of fox dung why he tried to murder a kit.
Murder? Firestar echoed. The accusation was so unexpected that for a heartbeat he could do nothing but stare stupidly.
Murder, repeated Graystripe. Go on, ask him why he was feeding deathberries to Sorrel Kit. You mouse-brained fool!
Darkstripe's voice was cold as he gazed up at his attacker.
I wasn't feeding her the berries. I was trying to stop her from eating them. I know what I saw, Graystripe insisted through gritted teeth.
Firestar tried to recall the image of the warrior and the kit that he had seen when he paused at the top of the ravine. Let him get up, he meowed reluctantly to his friend.
Darkstripe, tell me what happened.
The warrior rose and shook himself. Firestar could see bare patches on his flank where Graystripe had clawed out lumps of fur.
I was coming back to camp, he began. I found the stupid kit stuffing herself with deathberries, and I was trying to stop her when this idiot jumped on me.
He stared resentfully at Graystripe.
Why would I want to murder a kit? That's what I want to know,
spat Graystripe.
Of course we know who the noble Firestar will believe.
Darkstripe sneered.
There's no use expecting justice in ThunderClan these days.
The accusation stung Firestar, all the more so because he recognized that there was a core of truth in it. He would take Graystripe's word over Darkstripe's any day. But he had to be absolutely certain that his friend wasn't making a mistake. I don't have to decide now, Firestar meowed. As soon as Sorrel Kit wakes up, she'll be able to tell us what happened. As he spoke, he thought he saw a flicker of unease in Darkstripe's eyes, but it was gone so quickly he could not be sure. The dark warrior twitched his ears contemptuously.
Fine, he meowed. Then you'll see which of us is telling the truth.
He stalked off toward the camp entrance, with tail held high.
I did see it, Firestar,
Graystripe assured him, his sides heaving from the fight.
I can't understand why he'd want to hurt Sorrel Kit, but I'm quite sure that's what he was doing.
Firestar sighed. I believe you. But we have to let every cat see that justice is done. I can't punish Darkstripe until Sorrel Kit tells us what happened. If she ever does, he added silently to himself. He watched Cinderpelt and Willowpelt gently picking up the kit and carrying her toward the gorse tunnel. Sorrel Kit's head lolled limply and her tail brushed the ground. Firestar's belly clenched as he remembered the kit bouncing around the camp. If Darkstripe had really tried to kill her, he would pay. Graystripe, he murmured, go with Cinderpelt. I want you or another warrior on guard in her den until Sorrel Kit wakes up. Ask Sandstorm and Goldenflower if they'll help. I don't want anything else to happen to Sorrel Kit before she's fit to talk. Graystripe's eyes gleamed with understanding.
Okay, Firestar, he meowed. I'm on my way.
He bounded down the slope and caught up with the other cats as they disappeared into the tunnel. Firestar was left in the ravine with Bramblepaw. I've left a squirrel up there, he meowed to his apprentice, jerking his head toward the top of the ravine. Could you collect it for me, please? And then you can rest and eat. You've had a long day.
Thanks,
Bramblepaw mewed. He took a few steps up the ravine and glanced back.
Sorrel Kit will be okay, won't she?
Firestar let out a long breath.
I don't know, Bramblepaw, he admitted. I just don't know.
Chapter 9 Firestar made his way thoughtfully back into the camp. Glancing around, he caught sight of Darkstripe gulping down a piece of fresh kill beside the nettle patch. Mousefur, Goldenflower, and Frostfur were eating close by, but Firestar noticed that they had all turned their backs on Darkstripe and were not looking at him. Graystripe must have already begun to spread the news of what had happened in the ravine. Frostfur and Goldenflower in particular, who had both raised kits of their own, would be horrified by the very suspicion that a clan warrior would murder a kit. It was a good sign, Firestar realized, if they seemed to believe Graystripe's version of events. It showed that his friend was becoming accepted by the clan again, beginning to recover the popularity he had once had. Firestar was heading toward Graystripe when movement by the warrior's den caught his eye. Brackenfur was just emerging from between the branches, gazing wildly around. He spotted Darkstripe, took a step toward him, and then veered away to join Firestar.
I've just heard, he gasped. Firestar, I'm sorry. He got away from me. This is all my fault.
Steady, Firestar let his tail rest a moment on the agitated young warrior's shoulder, gesturing for calm. Tell me what happened. Brackenfur took a couple of gulping breaths, struggling for self-control.
Darkstripe said he was going out to hunt, he began. I went with him, but when we got into the forest, he said he had to make dirt. He went behind a bush, and I waited for him. He was taking a long time, so I went to look, and he'd gone.
His eyes stretched wide with dismay.
If Sorrel Kit dies, I'll never forgive myself.
Sorrel Kit won't die, Firestar reassured him, though he was not certain that it was the truth. The kit was still very ill, and now there was something else to worry about. Brackenfur's story showed that Darkstripe had realized he was being watched. He had gotten rid of his guard very neatly.
He must have had a reason, Firestar reflected.
What had the Dark Tabby meant to do? And why had he tried to kill Sorrel Kit?
What do you want me to do now?
Brackenfur asked miserably. Stop blaming yourself, to begin with, Firestar replied. Darkstripe was bound to let us know where his loyalties lie sooner or later. Except for his anxiety over Sorrel Kit, Firestar wasn't sorry that Darkstripe had shown his true self in a way that no cat could ignore. Although he had hoped to keep the Dark Warrior in the clan, where he could watch him for signs of treachery, now he knew that Darkstripe would never be loyal to him or to ThunderClan, and there could be no place for a cat who would poison a defenseless kit. Let him go to Tigerstar, where he belongs, Firestar thought. Carry on guarding Darkstripe, he went on to Brackenfur. You can let him know you're doing it now. Tell him from me he's not to leave camp until Sorrel Kit can tell her story. Brackenfur gave a tense nod and hurried across to the nettle patch, where he crouched beside Darkstripe and spoke to him. The warrior snarled something in reply and went back to tearing apart his piece of fresh kill. As Firestar watched, a paw step sounded behind him, and he turned to see Sandstorm. The ginger she-cat pressed her muzzle against his, a purr deep in her throat. Firestar drew in her scent, comforted for a moment just by being close to her.
Are you coming to eat? She asked. I waited for you. Graystripe told me what happened, she continued as they padded together over the nettle patch. I said I'd relieve him later to guard Cinderpelt's den.
Thanks, Firestar mewed. He shot a glance at the black-striped warrior as they walked past him to the pile of fresh kill. Darkstripe had finished his meal. He rose to his paws and stalked toward the warrior's den without acknowledging Firestar's presence. Brackenfur followed with a determined look on his face. Dustpelt emerged from the den just as Darkstripe reached it. Firestar couldn't help noticing that the brown tabby veered sharply away as he went to join Fernpaw outside the apprentice's den. The cats of ThunderClan were making their feelings very clear. Dustpelt had been Darkstripe's apprentice, and now he didn't even want to speak to his former mentor. Firestar picked out a magpie from the fresh kill pile and took it over to the nettle patch.
"Hey, Firestar,"
meowed Mousefur as he approached.
"Thornpaw said you were going to have a word with me about his warrior ceremony. It's about time."
"It certainly is," Firestar agreed. Bluestar's refusal to make the three oldest apprentices into warriors had led to Swiftpaw's death and Lostface's injuries. And there wouldn't be a cat in the clan who didn't remember that when Thornpaw finally received his warrior name. "Why don't the three of us take the Dawn Patrol tomorrow? That should give me a chance to see how he's shaping up. Not that I have any doubts," he added hastily.
"I should think not,"
Mousefur mewed.
"Will you tell Thornpaw about the patrol, or shall I?"
"I will," Firestar replied, taking a quick bite of his magpie. "I want a word with Fernpaw and Ashpaw, too." When he and Sandstorm had finished eating, the ginger she-cat went off to Cinderpelt's den, while Firestar padded over toward the tree stump where the apprentices ate. Dustpelt and Fernpaw were already there with Thornpaw and Ashpaw, and Cloudtail was just strolling over from the elder's den, Lostface close beside him. "Thornpaw," Firestar gave the apprentice a nod as he settled down beside him. "Are your claws sharp? All your warrior skills ready?" Thornpaw sat up straight, his eyes suddenly gleaming.
"Yes, Firestar!"
"Dawn patrol tomorrow, then," Firestar told him. "If it goes well, we'll hold your ceremony at sunhigh." Thornpaw's ears quivered with anticipation, but then the light in his eyes slowly died, and he looked away. "What's the matter?" Firestar asked.
"Swiftpaw and Lostface,"
Thornpaw spoke in a low voice, with a flick of the tail toward the injured she-cat.
"They should both be with me."
"I know." Firestar closed his eyes briefly at the memory of so much pain. "But you mustn't let that spoil it for you. You've deserved this for moons."
"I will be with you, Thornpaw,"
Lostface spoke up from where she was sitting beside Cloudtail.
"I'll be the first cat to call you by your new name."
"Thanks, Lostface,"
Thornpaw mewed with a grateful dip of his head.
"And while we're on the subject of names," Cloudtail broke in, "what about hers?"
He tilted his head toward Lostface. He always refused to use the cruel name Bluestar had bestowed on the injured cat.
"What about getting it changed?"
"Can you change a warrior's name?" Firestar asked. "It's given in the sight of StarClan." Cloudtail let out a sigh of exasperation.
"I never thought I'd call my clan leader a mousebrain, but honestly, do you think One Eye or Half Tail started off with those names? They had other warrior names first. You can be sure of that. There must be a ceremony of some sort, and I know the rest of the clan won't accept a new name until you've said the right words."
"Please, Firestar."
Lostface was looking at him with a hopeful expression.
"I'm sure the other cats wouldn't feel so awkward talking to me if I didn't have this awful name."
"Of course." Firestar felt a stir of distress that he hadn't noticed the burden the young cat was carrying. "I'll talk to the elders right away. One Eye is bound to know what to do." He rose to his paws and suddenly remembered what else he had meant to say. "Ashpaw, Fernpaw, don't think that you've been forgotten. You were brilliant in the race with the dog pack, but you're still a bit young to be made warriors." That was true, but at the same time Firestar wanted Thornpaw to keep his seniority by being made warrior first. "I promise it won't be long," he told them.
"We understand,"
Ashpaw mewed.
"There's still stuff we need to learn."
"Firestar?"
Fernpaw asked nervously.
"What's going to happen about Darkstripe? If he did that to Sorrelkit, I don't want him for my mentor."
"If he did that to Sorrelkit, he won't be your mentor," Firestar promised.
"Sorrelkit?"
Cloudtail demanded.
"What's all this about Sorrelkit? Did something happen while we were out hunting?"
Immediately, Thornpaw and Ashpaw shifted position to crouch beside him and Lostface and began passing on the news in hushed voices.
So, who's going to mentor Fernpaw, then? Dustpelt asked Firestar, taking it for granted that Darkstripe was guilty. I could manage her as well as Ashpaw, he suggested hopefully.
Fernpaw brightened, but Firestar shook his head. Not a chance, Dustpelt. You wouldn't be nearly tough enough with her.
Dustpelt's eyes sparked with annoyance.
Then he nodded sheepishly.
I suppose you're right.
Don't worry, Firestar promised as he headed for the Elder's Den. I'll make sure she gets a good mentor. Inside their den beside the fallen tree trunk, the elders were settled down for the night.
What's the matter now?
Small Ear grumbled, raising his head from his mossy nest.
Can't a cat get a wink of sleep around here?
Dappletail let out a drowsy purr.
Don't listen to him, Firestar. You're always welcome.
Thanks, Dappletail, Firestar meowed. But it's One Eye I want to talk to. One Eye was curled up in a clump of ferns in the shelter of the trunk. She blinked her single eye and opened her jaws in a huge yawn.
I'm listening, Firestar, but make it quick.
I need to ask you about names, Firestar began, and he explained how Cloudtail wanted a new name for Lostface. At the sound of the young cat's name, Speckletail padded over and sat listening. She had cared for Lostface when she was newly injured, and a strong bond had developed between them.
I can't say I blame Cloudtail,
she commented when Firestar had finished.
No cat wants a name like that.
One Eye yawned.
I was already old when they changed my name to One Eye, she mewed. And to be honest, I don't care what they call me so long as they bring the fresh kill on time. But it's different for a young cat.
So, can you tell me what to do? Firestar prompted.
Of course I can.
One Eye raised her tail and beckoned him closer.
Come here and listen carefully.
Heavy rain fell during the night. When Firestar led Mousefur and Thornpaw out of the camp at dawn, he saw that the light snowfall had vanished. Every fern and clump of grass was loaded with drops of water that shone as daylight seeped into the sky. Shivering, Firestar set a brisk pace. He could see from the gleam in Thornpaw's eyes that the young cat was wildly excited, but he kept calm, determined to show his leader that he was fit to be a warrior. The three cats paused at the top of the ravine where the breeze was carrying a strong scent of mouse. Thornpaw flashed an inquiring look at Firestar, who nodded. We're not hunting, he mewed quietly, but we won't say no to a bit of prey. Let's see your action. Thornpaw froze for a moment, pinpointing the mouse scuffling among the leaves under a bush. Stealthily, he crept up on it, his body falling smoothly into the hunter's crouch. Firestar noticed approvingly that he remembered how sensitive the mouse would be to the vibrations of his paw steps. He almost seemed to float over the ground. Then he sprang and turned back to Firestar and his mentor with triumph in his eyes and the limp body of the mouse in his jaw.
Well done,
meowed Mousefur. That was great, Firestar agreed. Bury it now, and we'll pick it up on the way back. When Thornpaw had scraped earth over his catch, Firestar led the patrol toward Snake Rocks. He had not been this way since that dreadful morning when he had discovered the trail of dead rabbits laid by Tiger Star to lead the dog pack to the ThunderClan camp. He swallowed bile in his throat as he remembered the reek of blood. But this morning he could detect nothing but the ordinary forest scents. When they reached Snake Rocks, everything was silent. The howls and barking that he had heard coming from the cave were now no more than a memory. Right, Thornpaw, Firestar meowed, trying not to reveal the clinging horror that he still felt about this place. What can you smell? The apprentice lifted his head and opened his jaws to draw air past his scent glands. Firestar could see that he was concentrating fiercely.
Fox, he announced at last. It's stale, though. 2 days old, I'd guess. Squirrel and just a trace of dog.
He shot a glance at Firestar, who could see that the young cat shared his own misgivings. Thornpaw knew as well as any of them that this was where Swiftpaw had died and Lostface had been attacked. Anything else?
The Thunderpath, Thornpaw replied. And there's something...
He tasted the air again.
Firestar, I don't understand. I think I can smell cats, but it's not the scent of any of the clans. Coming from over there.
He flicked his tail.
What do you think?
Firestar took a deep breath and realized that Thornpaw was right. The breeze was blowing a faint trace of unfamiliar cat scent toward them. Let's take a look, Firestar murmured. And be careful. It might only be a lost kitty pet, but you can never tell. As the three cats padded warily through the undergrowth, the scent grew stronger. Firestar felt more certain now about the scent. Rogues or loners, he meowed. Three of them, I'd guess. And the scent is fresh. We must have just missed them.
But what are they doing on our territory?
Thornpaw asked.
Are they Tigerstar's rogues, do you think?
He was referring to the band of clanless cats who had helped Tigerstar to track ThunderClan during his exile, before he had joined ShadowClan.
No,
replied Mousefur.
Tigerstar's rogues took on ShadowClan scent long ago. This must be a new lot.
As far as what they're doing, Firestar added, I'd like to know that, too.
Let's follow them. Thornpaw, you lead.
Thornpaw was serious now, his excitement at his upcoming warrior ceremony lost in the possible threat from the group of rogues. He did his best to follow the scent, but lost it in a marshy stretch of ground where not even Firestar could pick it up again.
I'm sorry, Firestar,
mewed Thornpaw, crestfallen. It's not your fault, Firestar reassured him. If the scent's gone, it's gone. He raised his head, staring in the direction the trail had led them. It looked as if the strange cats were heading for the Thunderpath, or perhaps for Two-Leg Place. In either case, they were on their way out of the territory. He shrugged. I'll tell the patrols to keep a lookout, but hopefully there's nothing to worry about. That was well scented, Thornpaw. Turning to the young cat, he added with a purr of approval, Let's head back to camp. We have a warrior ceremony to arrange.
Let all cats old enough to catch their own prey join here beneath the high rock for a clan meeting.
Almost at once, Firestar saw Thornpaw approaching from the apprentice's den with Mousefur beside him. Both cats had groomed themselves for the ceremony. Thornpaw's golden brown fur shone in the gray light of Leaf Bear, and he looked as if he would burst with pride. As he waited for the rest of the clan to emerge, Firestar spotted Cinderpelt coming from her den. Graystripe was with her, and the two cats had their heads together, talking in low voices. Firestar wondered how Sorrelkit was getting on. He had briefly looked into the medicine cat's den before he left with the dawn patrol. The kit had been sleeping then, and Cinderpelt had still not been prepared to say whether she thought the poison was out of her system. Firestar decided to check on Sorrelkit again as soon as the ceremony was over. He could not help noticing Darkstripe emerging from the warrior's den with Brackenfur right behind him. When they sat down in front of the high rock, a space cleared itself all around them. None of the other cats wanted to be anywhere near Darkstripe. The warrior stared straight ahead with a sneer on his face, but Firestar guessed he would be as anxious as the rest of them to know if Sorrelkit would recover. Firestar looked at the rest of the clan for a moment. This was a day that Thornpaw would remember for the rest of his life, but it was special for Firestar, too, because Thornpaw was the first warrior he would make as clan leader. His voice rang out clearly as he began the ceremony with the words that were familiar to him from his own ceremony and all the others he had seen.
I, Firestar, leader of ThunderClan, call upon my warrior ancestors to look down on this apprentice. He has trained hard to understand the ways of your noble code, and I commend him to you as a warrior in his turn.
Turning to the apprentice, Firestar continued,
Thornpaw, do you promise to uphold the warrior code and to protect and defend this clan, even at the cost of your life?
Thornpaw's reply was firm and confident.
I do.
Then by the powers of StarClan, Firestar declared, I give you your warrior name. Thornpaw, from this moment, you will be known as Thornclaw. StarClan honors your loyalty
and your intelligence, and we welcome you as a full warrior of ThunderClan. Stepping forward, Firestar rested his muzzle on top of Thornclaw's head, feeling the new warrior quiver with excitement. Thornclaw licked his shoulder in return and met his gaze with a long look in which happiness and sorrow were mingled. Firestar knew he was remembering his denmate Swiftpaw, dead before he could know the fulfillment of being a warrior. As Thornclaw stepped back to join the warriors, Lostface slipped over to him.
Thornclaw,
she purred, swiping her tongue over his ear. She had kept her promise to be the first cat to greet him with his new warrior name, and her voice held warmth and pride in his achievement. Cloudtail pressed up behind her, greeting Thornclaw in his turn, and flashed a questioning look at Firestar. Firestar gave him a nod. For a few moments, he allowed the clan to welcome the new warrior by chanting his name, and then he signaled with his tail for silence. When the cats had settled down, he meowed, "Before you go, I've something more to say. First, I want to honor the apprentice who should have been here, receiving his warrior name along with Thornclaw. You all know how Swiftpaw met his death trying to hunt down the dog pack who threatened us. His clan will always remember that." There was a murmur of agreement from the assembled cats. Firestar glanced at Longtail, who had been the dead apprentice's mentor, and saw a look of pride and grief cross his face. "In addition," Firestar continued, "I want to give thanks from the clan to Fernpaw and Ashpaw. They showed the bravery of warriors in the race against the dogs, and although they are still too young to receive their warrior names, we honor them." Fernpaw, Ashpaw. The two apprentices looked overwhelmed to hear themselves praised by their clanmates, and Dustpelt's eyes shone with delight. Only Darkstripe, Fernpaw's mentor, remained silent, staring coldly in front of him without even turning to look at his apprentice. Firestar waited until the noise died down. "There's one more ceremony to perform." He flicked his tail to beckon Lostface out of the crowd. Nervously, she stepped forward to stand in front of him. Cloudtail followed her, remaining a tail length or so away. A murmur of surprise went through the watching cats. Many of them, Firestar realized, would not know what was about to happen. The name-changing ceremony for a warrior who had already been given a new name had not been held for many seasons. Remembering what One Eye had told him, he began to speak. "Spirits of Star Clan, you know every cat by name. I ask you now to take away the name from the cat you see before you, for it no longer stands for what she is." He paused and saw the young ginger and white she-cat shiver as she waited, nameless, before Star Clan. Firestar hoped she would like the name he had chosen for her. He had thought hard before he was sure he had gotten it right. "By my authority as clan leader," Firestar announced, "and with the approval of our warrior ancestors, I give this cat a new name. From this moment, she will be known as Brightheart. For though her body has been gravely injured, we honor her brave spirit and the light that shines on within her." He stepped close to the newly named Brightheart, and as he had done in the warrior ceremony, rested his muzzle on her head. She responded like any newly named warrior by licking his shoulder. "Brightheart! Brightheart!" The yowl rose from the assembled cats. Brightheart had been popular when she was an apprentice, and the whole clan had grieved over her injuries. She would never be a warrior in the truest sense of the word, but there would always be a place for her in ThunderClan. Firestar led Brightheart to where Cloudtail was waiting. "Well," he asked, "is that fair enough for you?" Cloudtail could barely reply. He was too busy pressing his muzzle against Brightheart's and winding his tail with hers.
"It's perfect, Firestar," he murmured.
Brightheart's good eye brimmed with happiness, and she was purring too hard to speak, but she blinked her gratitude at Firestar. She had carried the burden of Blue Star's anger against Star Clan for too long, and even if she could never become a full warrior, she had a name to be proud of now. Firestar swallowed, his throat choked with emotion. It was moments like this that made being a leader worthwhile.
"Listen, Firestar," meowed Cloudtail after a moment. "Brightheart and I are going to train together.
We're going to work on a fighting technique she can manage with just one eye and ear. When she's able to fight again, can she leave the elders and come to live in the warrior's den with the rest of us?
Well, Firestar was uncertain. Brightheart could never be a full warrior because she couldn't hunt alone, and she would be at a serious disadvantage in a fight. But it was hard to resist her determination. Besides, Firestar wanted her to be able to defend herself and her clanmates as best she could.
You haven't got an apprentice yet, Cloudtail, he agreed.
So you do have time to spend with Brightheart.
Does that mean we can train together?
Cloudtail urged.
Please, Firestar,
meowed Brightheart.
I want to be of some use to the clan.
All right, Firestar agreed. With a sudden thought, he added, if you work out some new moves, we can teach them to the others. Brightheart isn't the first warrior to be injured like this, and she won't be the last. Cloudtail meowed agreement. The two young cats were moving away when Whitestorm, who had been Brightheart's mentor, came up to congratulate her. To Firestar, he added, I looked in on Sorrelkit just before the ceremony. She was starting to wake up. Cinderpelt thinks she'll recover.
That's great news, Firestar purred.
Whitestorm, he remembered, was Sorrelkit's father.
Do you think she's fit yet to tell us what happened?
You'll have to ask Cinderpelt, the white warrior replied. Go now. I'll see to the patrols.
Firestar thanked him and hurried toward the medicine cat's den. Cinderpelt met him at the mouth of the fern tunnel.
I was coming to look for you,
she meowed. After hearing Whitestorm's good news, Firestar was surprised to see the depth of anxiety in her eyes.
Sorrelkit is awake, she went on. She's going to be fine, but you need to hear the story she has to tell.
Chapter 10 Sorrelkit was curled up in a mossy nest near the entrance to Cinderpelt's den. She raised her head as Firestar approached with the medicine cat, but her eyes were heavy and it looked as though she was finding it difficult to move. Sandstorm was crouched close beside her on guard duty.
Poor little Scrap, she murmured to Firestar. She nearly died. We've got to do something about Darkstripe.
The pale ginger she-cat was looking as anxious as Cinderpelt. She would have heard Sorrelkit's story too, Firestar realized. He nodded. You can leave Darkstripe to me. Settling down beside Sorrelkit, he mewed gently.
I'm glad to see you're awake, Sorrelkit. Can you tell me what happened to you?
The tiny tortoiseshell kit blinked up at him.
Sootkit and Rainkit were asleep in the nursery,
she began in a faint voice.
But I wasn't sleepy. My mother wasn't watching, so I went to play in the ravine. I wanted to catch a mouse, and then I saw Darkstripe.
Her voice shook, and she hesitated. Go on, Firestar encouraged her.
Hugh was coming up the ravine by himself. I knew he should have had Brackenfur with him, and I wondered where he was going. I followed him. I remember the time he took Bramblepaw and Tawnypaw out of the camp, and I thought I might have an adventure like that, too.
Firestar felt a pang of sadness as he remembered how Sorrelkit was always so bright and curious, getting into trouble because of her misguided courage. This limp scrap of fur didn't look at all adventurous now, and Firestar could only hope that with Cinderpelt's care, she would soon be her lively self again.
I followed him a long way,
Sorrelkit went on, sounding rather proud of herself.
I'd never been so far from the camp. I hid from Darkstripe, too. He didn't know I was there. And then he met another cat, a cat I'd never seen before.
What other cat? What did it look like? What scent did it have? Firestar questioned her urgently. Sorrelkit looked bewildered.
I didn't recognize the scent,
she mewed, her nose wrinkled.
But it was Yucky. He was a big white cat, bigger than you, Firestar. And he had black paws.
Firestar stared at her as he realized whom she had seen. Blackfoot, he exclaimed. Tigerstar's deputy. That was ShadowClan's scent you smelled, Sorrelkit.
And what's Darkstripe doing meeting the ShadowClan deputy on our territory?
Sandstorm growled.
That's what I'd like to know.
So what happened then? Firestar prompted the kit.
I got scared,
Sorrel Kit admitted, looking down at her paws.
I ran back to camp, but I think Darkstripe must have heard me because he caught up with me in the ravine. I thought he would be angry because I spied on him, but he told me how clever I was. He gave me some red berries for a special treat. They looked tasty, but when I ate them, I started to feel really ill. And I don't remember anything else except waking up here.
She sank her head on her paws again as she finished, as if telling the long story had exhausted her. Cinderpelt nosed her gently, checking her breathing.
Those were death berries,
she mewed.
You must never, ever touch them again.
I won't, Cinderpelt. I promise,
murmured the tiny kit. Thank you, Sorrel Kit, Firestar meowed. He was angry but not surprised to discover that Graystripe had been right all along. The real shock was the news that Blackfoot had been seen on ThunderClan territory and that Darkstripe had obviously arranged to meet him.
What are you going to do about Darkstripe?
Asked Sandstorm. I'll have to question him, Firestar replied, but I don't expect he'll tell me anything.
He can't stay in ThunderClan after this,
Sandstorm pointed out, her voice hard as flint.
There's more than one cat who would rip his throat out for a couple of mouse tails.
Leave him to me, Firestar mewed grimly. Cinderpelt stayed with Sorrel Kit, who was drifting off to sleep again, while Firestar returned to the main clearing with Sandstorm. Many of the cats were still there, sharing tongues after the earlier meeting. Whitestorm was heading for the gorse tunnel with Goldenflower and Longtail. The patrol turned back and all the cats looked up, startled, as Firestar bounded to the top of the high rock and yowled the summons to another meeting. His gaze sought out Darkstripe, but there was no sign of him. Where's Darkstripe? He meowed at Graystripe as his friend made his way to the base of the rock.
In the den,
Graystripe replied.
Fetch him.
Graystripe disappeared into the warrior's den and emerged a moment later with Darkstripe and Brackenfur by his side. All three cats returned to the base of the high rock, where Darkstripe sat and looked up at Firestar with a sneer on his face.
Well, he asked, what does our noble leader want now?
Firestar met his eyes steadily. Sorrel Kit is awake. For a few heartbeats, Darkstripe held his gaze, and then he looked away.
Have you called a clan meeting to tell us that?
His tone was scoffing, but his fur had bristled uneasily at the news.
Cats of ThunderClan,
Firestar raised his voice.
I've called you together so that you can witness what Darkstripe has to say. You all heard what happened to Sorrel Kit yesterday. She's awake now, and Cinderpelt says she'll be fine. I've talked to her, and she confirms what Graystripe said. Darkstripe did feed her the death berries. So, Darkstripe,
his gaze went back to the dark warrior below.
What have you to say for yourself?
She's lying,
Darkstripe retorted. An angry hiss came from more than one of the cats around him, and he added, blustering,
or she made a mistake. Kits never listen to what any cat says. She obviously didn't hear me properly when I told her not to eat them.
She's not lying or mistaken, Firestar meowed. And she told me something even more interesting. Your reason for feeding her the death berries. She saw you meeting with Blackfoot, the deputy of ShadowClan, on our territory. Would you like to tell us what that was all about?
More furious snarls came from the clan, and a cat at the back of the crowd yowled,
Traitor!
Firestar had to signal with his tail for silence, and it was several moments before the angry cats quieted down again. Darkstripe waited until he could make himself heard.
I don't have to justify myself to a kitty pet, he growled.
Firestar's claws scraped against the rock beneath his paws, and he felt reassured by their sharpness.
That's exactly what you have to do. I want to know what you and Tigerstar are planning.
Panic suddenly flooded over him, and he forced it back.
Darkstripe, you know what Tigerstar tried to do to us. The dog pack would have torn the whole clan to pieces. How can you even think of following him after that?
Darkstripe met his eyes resentfully and did not reply.
Firestar remembered how he had caught him on the morning the pack attacked, trying to slip away from the camp with Tigerstar's kits. Darkstripe had known that Tigerstar was planning something. He would have abandoned the rest of the clan to a ghastly death without even trying to warn them. That was what his loyalty to ThunderClan was worth. Firestar wanted to be fair, so that no cat, not even Darkstripe himself, could accuse him of persecuting Tigerstar's former allies. Even more than that, Firestar was still afraid of what Darkstripe might do if he left ThunderClan and was free to go to Tigerstar. But he was left with no choice. Exile was the only possible sentence for a cat guilty of Darkstripe's crimes. "You would have been a valuable warrior," he went on to Darkstripe. "I gave you one chance after another to prove yourself. I wanted to trust you, and trust me," Darkstripe interrupted. "You've never trusted me. Do you think I didn't know you told that ginger fool to watch me?" He spat the last words toward Brackenfur, still seated beside him. "Did you expect me to live the rest of my days with a shadow?" "No. I was waiting for you to show your loyalty." Firestar crouched on the rock and held Darkstripe's furious gaze without flinching. "This is the clan where you were born. These are the cats you grew up with. Doesn't that mean anything to you? The Warrior Code says you should protect them with your life." As Darkstripe rose to his paws, Firestar thought he could see fear flickering in his eyes, as if the Dark Warrior had never intended to make a final break with ThunderClan. He could not be sure, after all, that Tigerstar would welcome him. He had refused to follow the former deputy into exile, and he had failed in his attempt to take Bramblepaw and Tawnypaw to their father before the attack from the dogs. Tigerstar was not a cat who forgave easily, but there was no trace of fear or regret in Darkstripe's voice as he spoke. "This is not my clan," he hissed scornfully, to gasps of shock from the warriors around him. "Not any longer. ThunderClan is led by a kitty pet, and there's nothing left to fight for. I feel no loyalty to ThunderClan. In the whole forest, the only cat worth following is Tigerstar."
"Then follow him," Firestar retorted. "You are no longer a warrior of ThunderClan. If you are found in our territory after sunset today, we shall treat you as we would any enemy. Go now."
Darkstripe's burning gaze held Firestar's for a moment longer, but he did not reply. Unhurriedly, he turned his back on Firestar and stalked toward the camp entrance. The cats nearby drew back as he passed them.
"You know what will be waiting for you if you try to come back," Cloudtail snarled, curling his lip.
Willowpelt said nothing but spat, her fur bristling. As soon as the tip of Darkstripe's tail had vanished into the tunnel, a murmur of speculation broke out among the crowd of cats. One voice rose up clearly.
"Has Darkstripe gone to ShadowClan?"
asked Tawnypaw. She had not joined in the clan's protests when Firestar had tried to force Darkstripe to admit his guilt. Instead, she had watched everything in silent fascination, her eyes following the Dark Warrior every paw step of the way to the tunnel. She looked shocked and sickened, but there was something else in her expression that Firestar could not read. He froze as she asked her question. This apprentice knew that her father was the leader of ShadowClan. Did she understand the full extent of Darkstripe's treachery?
"I don't know," he admitted. "Darkstripe can go where he likes. From now on, he is not a member of ThunderClan."
"Does that mean we can chase him out of the territory if we see him?"
Whitestorm called.
"Yes, it does,"
Firestar replied.
Addressing all the cats, he added, "If you sent him or any ShadowClan cats, tell me or Whitestorm. And that reminds me, this morning Thornclaw scented rogue cats on our territory. Keep a lookout for them, too, and report anything you find."
Giving the orders helped him calm down. He could not help feeling the first creeping sensations of relief that at last he had Darkstripe out of his fur. There would be no more kitty pet taunts, no more worries about whether all the clan's business was being relayed straight to Tigerstar. Even though Firestar was worried about what Darkstripe would do now, there was more gain than loss in the Dark Warrior's departure. Yet still, Firestar could not help wishing that he could have earned his loyalty.
"Hey, Firestar!
Dustpelt's voice startled him out of his thoughts. What about Fernpaw? She hasn't got a mentor now.
Thanks, Dustpelt. I'll deal with that right away. Fernpaw, come up to the rock.
Fernpaw obeyed, leaving Dustpelt's side to step delicately around the cats in her way until she stood at the foot of the high rock. Firestar glanced around to make sure the warrior he wanted was present, and hastily summoned the right words.
Longtail, you are without an apprentice since Swiftpaw died. You are an excellent mentor to him, and I expect you to pass on your skills to Fernpaw for the rest of her apprenticeship.
Longtail sprang to his paws, his eyes wide with surprise and gratitude. Firestar beckoned him with his tail, hoping that with Darkstripe gone, the last of the hostility between himself and Longtail could be buried. The pale tabby warrior could easily be a fine member of the clan. Still looking stunned, Longtail padded up to Fernpaw and touched noses with her. Fernpaw dipped her head, and both cats withdrew to where Dustpelt and Ashpaw were sitting. Firestar leaped down from the high rock. Now that everything was over, exhaustion hit him like a blow from a badger's paw. What he wanted more than anything was to curl up with his friends in the warrior's den, to share tongues and sleep. But as leader of the clan, he couldn't do that